and a number of other issues also to talk with him about accounting issues. We are looking at working with Ferruti. We were looking at an accounting package and the changes we might need to make in our accounting package. Ferruti joined me there on a conference call with the business managers talking about that, and then looking at the building at WBAI. There's some looking at source of funds. Should that station need to relocate, because they're in a spot where they're paying out $250,000 a year, and even though there's a lease, we'll explore the possibility for breaking that lease and also having money. There's a couple of institutions in New York apparently that do loan money to nonprofits for relocating, and they steer the nonprofits toward for enterprise zones. That is areas that federal government has deemed you can get cheap dollars in order to purchase a building. Many times, some of the buildings in Harlem. I did talk with those folks while I was there, the loan folks, and they are passed it on. We're trying to get up a plan for WBAI for off-air fundraising. Met with the business managers and general managers to discuss what the board-related finance policies, the recent ones we've discussed, and some conference calls on legal issues. And last section, and that'll be in my report, is looking at some of the implementation activities that started the process of implementing the budget timetable and updated the general managers and the business managers, developed a grid for the contracts policy so that folks would have a way to document the contracts in place that they have. And that process has gotten underway. That would be a quick summary. And that's the format. That's sort of what will go into it. And they welcome feedback, and hopefully we can hopefully have the information. This is an addition to the regular financial, which has all the detail. But this is a way of getting information to folks who are not going to want to go through the huge spreadsheet, but this is a way of excerpting from that spreadsheet in a summary form with some graphs the information. Okay?
Okay, this is Lauren. I'm back on. Thanks. I heard the report that you'd given, Lenny. So we're on the agenda. We're on the CFO report.
Correct.
So is there discussion?
Yes, please.
Dave?
A couple of things. One, I really like the current income statements, including a reference to the prior 2 years audited numbers. That's really helpful. I guess it's really mostly a long-term question. You know, you talked about the status of listener support, and you also talked about salaries, and it's really just a question of when we're going to look at the structural issue of what's going to happen with salaries and benefits over time, and what's our long-term strategy. Are we looking to be able to expand funding, to be able to continue to expand the number of paid positions in our radio stations? Is that a goal? I really think that needs to be something we look at, because it's, as Lonnie mentioned, benefits are not going to go down. They go up, particularly in the stations where we have union contracts. So that means that we have to continue to increase listener support just to stay in the same place. And I was wondering what conversations there have been about the long-term questions on staffing.
Do you want to take this line one at a time, or how do you want to take this?
Let's take staffing, since that's near and dear to our hearts, and staffing, of course, is a major expense in any budget. Certainly is true for Pacifica. Well, it's true. In order to answer that question, there are certain prior questions, and one of them is what our staffing needs are going to be depends on what we identify as our mission and goal, where we want to go. Then we have a hiring and a staffing pattern that would flow from our mission. Our mission might include upgrading to digital, then upgrading on the technological side. That tells you the staffing, some parts of the staffing that you want to look at. It also depends on programming. If we can get to some programming issues, we will then be able to identify the staff that's needed to drive that into programming. In the long term about revenue, I've always, you know, all of us finance people have a mantra around revenue. We have to diversify our revenue sources, although some folks feel we shouldn't do that. But when you're totally dependent on listener support dollars, as we are, up to the 80-85% level, that is 80-85% of our money comes from that source, If you have a bad drive and the listeners, for whatever reasons, aren't able to support you as they have in the past, then you're vulnerable. So the diversification of revenue sources, I believe, is always wise. That is off air. Try a number of things. Mail drops, looking to stimulate programming, assuming that increasing our program quality will increase our dollars. Looking at a number of issues around our audience. That is, we all know the mantra here. Our audience is aging and a little bit older, loyal they have been. But the fact of the matter is that we are maintaining our listener support dollars from the same or fewer listeners. That is, people are giving more. Our loyal supporters are digging deeper into their pockets. We have a whole internet audience to explore. We have a way of them as a new revenue source. And we see them coming in and out when we do national. To answer the question, how will we maintain and create staffing at each station?
I wonder if everyone could get their phones before you answer that.
Yeah, just a second. Yeah, Lonnie, there's some.
Sounds like that's Greg. Is Greg? Are you physically where Greg is, Lonnie?
Yeah.
Can you tell him?
Yeah.
For confidence,
Greg denies everything.
Right. If everyone could. Okay, it's gone. You have to be careful with your phone. Okay, please continue.
So the issue of staffing is a complicated one, and so I don't want to try to answer in 2 or 3 seconds, but I would end with this, that Pacifica needs to have the conversation around the model of each station. That is, there are 2 or 3 ways to model a station, and that would include staffing. And that conversation is important to have. That is to say, what is going to be the mix of staffing to volunteers?
Right.
What is going to be the skill level of whatever staff and volunteers that you're going to actively recruit? What is going to be your retention policy such that you don't lose valuable staff to constantly have turnover? What's going to be your policy around middle managers? Someone asked me the question, how has Pacifica been able, despite its internal exotic sorts of activities, how have they been able to manage? So what I did see, if you look at turnover rates, there were a cadre of people at Pacifica who've been here 15, 20 years, stable, operational, and middle management has been the secret, one of the secrets to Pacifica's longevity. Is they have, and the volunteers, I've always pointed out that volunteers are so crucial to Pacifica's financial stability, plus a cash infusion from the CPB. $1.8 million is quite a large sum, and Pacifica's finances in terms of cash flow is dependent on getting those funds in the timing that they do come in for. There's a long or short question. What about staffing? The answer is it depends on a lot of things, but you don't answer the question of staffing, as I think, Dave, you were implying. The need will happen every year. The right. events will overtake us, and right. we'll have to solve the problem whether we're ready for it or not.
Exactly. I have one other question,
sure.
but I'll defer until other people have spoken.
Is there anyone else who would like to join the discussion? Questions for Lonnie?
I've got a couple.
Please, Brian.
Patty.
And Patty. Brian, Patty.
Actually, these are both kind of related. One was you mentioned the building fund for BAI, and it relates to a question I've been having at KPFA. Are you going to be booking that as income, or is it going onto the balance sheet as a restricted asset?
It will be income, and it will go onto the balance sheet, but the portion that's cash will go onto the income statement.
So the portion that's not fulfilled will go onto the balance sheet?
Yes, yes.
But
yeah.
it's not, because it's restricted income, because it can only be spent on the building, it's not going to be solving cash flow problems at BAI.
No, it will not. But if you are, say, looking for a building in year one, what you have available is $20,000 toward that activity. So that is helpful in that respect.
Second question was, I understand we have a large endowment commitment on the way at KPFA that the National Office is getting part of, too. And I was wondering who's doing investment management for Pacifica or what policies exist around that now.
wait, before you go there, can you explain what you just said about what's coming?
The business office told me we have a six-figure endowment check come in. That is in a donation earmarked to be an endowment for KPFA. In other words, principal that you can't spend that's meant to generate interest that funds the operations of the station.
Yeah, I reported out to the board on that at the last board meeting. And I did it in terms of the Heath family left to Pacifica Foundation and to KPFA to be divided equally a sum of $750,000. The provisos, though, were that the money could, the principal could not be invaded, that the only the interest from that endowment could be used, assuming some interest rates around 8%. Let's just take a $350,000 number, which would be 50%. A gets 50, we do at the office. It would mean that approximately 28 to 30,000 would be available for public affairs and national programs each year, and that money that is principal, but that is interest, but the principal couldn't be invaded, which means that the corpus, the body of the money, $1,000, could not be used except in emergency or exigent situations. So we're going to try to get a definition of exigent. No money has been received. They said it'll take 120 days to finish processing some administrative tasks. So that 120-day period would end approximately April 30th. And then I don't know how they plan to pay it out, but they would probably ask us to put it in a sequestered account and only draw down the interest. So no money would probably hit, no cash would probably come to us except in terms of a year. It might accumulate to $30,000 in interest. So we're looking at a year away in terms of actual cash receipts. However, the principal would be sitting in a Schwab account, our investment account.
I'm sorry, your investments are managed by?
Schwab.
Schwab, okay.
But he asked what are our plans for doing it. Was that the question, Brian?
Oh, just,
for investing it?
Just kind of curious what the investment policies are. I mean, it was my understanding that, you know, 5-6 years ago, the people in charge of the network spent down everyone's endowment, wiped us out, but that used to be an important part of KPFA's budget.
I was not here. I did not do it, Brian.
No. I wasn't putting that on you. But, yeah, you know, are they invested according to socially responsible criteria?
No. What
kind of risk profile is Pacifica or KPFA assuming? Has there been any discussion of taking any portion of the other cash balance that we carry from year to year, which is somewhere in excess of $700,000 now, and putting it into an interest-generating account?
Yeah, I think that would be wise for KPFA. KPFA is carrying a fairly large sum of cash. They have it in interest-bearing checking, but it's not invested funds. And we do need to look at that. It is certainly on my list. We need an investment policy. We need an investment committee to look at our funds to get the best use out of them, certainly the cash. However, that's a touchy subject. When I walk over to KPFA and talk to Lois and the rest of those folks and say, I'd like to take your $900,000 and start to manage it, I get really, really bad looks. So I've been not wanting to do that. But I would need, you know, the board to come to the decision to have an investment policy and to come up with some protocols around how funds could be used at the station level. Now, at the national level, our return on it has been pretty good, what invested monies we do have. It's about the 8% level. And the beta is about 1. Beta is the level of risk. Nobody wants to risk the principal. Beta of 1 is considered safe and normal, that is to say, guaranteed income and not investing in risky funds or high growth funds, high return, high risk, and not screened. We do need to relook at the social investment policy, and that's something that I will be asking here at Finance. We need to look at an investment committee to look at investments and dollars network-wide and see what's the best use. We have some issues with how the monies are currently sitting in bank accounts. FDIC only insures these accounts up to $100,000, so you do want to reduce your risk by moving funds in more than one account. So There's some agenda items for an investment committee. Yeah.
Well, I would suggest, if you think you need an investment committee for oversight, that we start that as soon as possible. Because once you've already got the money and you don't know where you want to put it, you're losing money.
Yeah, you're losing that invested dollar. I agree. And so, as a matter of fact, Madam Chair, maybe we can put the idea of an investment on a future finance agenda and make some recommendations.
This is LaVorne. Yeah, absolutely. And this could also be one of the topics that we were talking about, having a finance committee meeting with a conference call, perhaps at the PNB. These are the type of topics we really need to dive into and look at an investment committee and look at something short-term and where you're saying the KPFA in terms of where you could invest that so you would get more than whatever the minimum return that we're currently getting. And it's maybe a short-range measure before we get into a full investment committee with recommendations, but
yeah.
Absolutely.
Point of order?
Sure.
Can I put in the minutes that this is a motion by Lonnie to include the topic of investment oversight committee on future NFC agenda, and may we approve that?
Lonnie?
Yes, I certainly would make that motion. I think we need to look into it.
Is there further discussion? Would you read the motion, Dave?
To include the topic of investment oversight, of an investment oversight committee on future NFC agenda.
Is there further discussion? Are there objections? So moved. Okay. Are there any other, the time is about 6:40. Are there any other questions? I think the next person on the list I have here is Patty.
Okay, you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm in the dark room. okay, well, you know, this sounds, you know, I hate to bring up my station again, but, you know, it sounds like we did okay. We got 900,000 out of 950, but, it actually averages to 35,000 a day. It's the worst dry we've had in the winter since 2001 when the quote-unquote hijackers took over. Last year we were at 39, and the year before that was $43,000 a day, and the year before that was $60,000 a day in our winter dry. And it really affects our spring dry when we extend like we did. So, and I think then the finance committee, I wasn't there, I'm sorry, but they were saying too that the premiums are all costing a lot more money and things like that. So, there's something wrong there. And, members of the local station board have asked, to try to have a committee of the whole that perhaps the local station board there could discuss the matter. And we've been, unable to get any, response or any kind of, satisfaction to actually just talk about, you know, what's happening there. So I don't know what we can do about it, but, you know, it's not good. It sounds good, oh, 50,000, but it's not good. And we have to face that because every year, every fundraiser, we've had about 13 failed fundraisers in a row, if you want to say nothing's come in on time, on goal. So I just want to keep saying it because people seem to want to make it like it's okay, and I'm completely troubled by it. This moving business, we've had so many discussions about this, and it's, you know, finding anything is not going to be cheaper by much. And anyway, I think it's a red herring or one of those phrases, whatever you want to say. Maybe red herring's bad. I don't know. It's something that's not good keep talking about. That's where our money's going. We have to find what else we're doing with our money, and we have to figure out how to raise more money in that city. Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Lonnie? Do you have a comment?
It's all true. It took many more days at WBAI to raise that money. Patty has a point. Same thing is true, by the way, for a couple of the other stations. They had to extend their drives by a couple of days to make those goals.
KPFK did.
Yeah, KPFK did, and KPFT did, and I'm not sure about W. So we are in a situation where it's taking more effort. You recall that at the last board meeting, Dwayne Bradley was trying to make the point that it's getting more arduous for staff to raise the funds, longer drives with much more stress, and more difficult to reach those goals. And, well, I think Greg just mentioned dependence on Amy Goodman, too. We all know these issues. We've been discussing them for several years now. I just think that, you know, at some point, we need to take time out and address what is our lifeblood or revenue and come up with a strategy of how we will, assuming that this can't continue on without one day two or three drives failing at the same time, and then we'll be in crisis mode. So again, and I would love to put this on the agenda and address the revenue expense issue, or what I've talked about is the model issue. We must have a sustainable model for Pacifica going into the future. And I mean by that for the organization as well as the stations. What is sustainable is the question, financially sustainable. So, yeah, it's you can see how more and more difficult it's going to be. We're not alone, of course, as you all know as well. All half, 50% of public stations, 50% of stations are in trouble and don't even make a profit. And it's difficult. Radio itself is having difficulties. We need to look at how we sustain ourselves. And we need some new ideas around models and new ways to increase the revenue stream. So anyway, preaching to the choir here, but yeah, we need to address it. Dave?
Okay. Is there any, because Dave has spoken, is there anyone else who wishes to speak? And then I'll go to Dave.
Brian has a couple more for after Dave.
Okay, great. Dave?
Following on that, that was part, what Patty said was part of one of my questions, because I looked at it and I saw that although BAI is scheduled to be, have some surplus, it's $215,000 less than was budgeted, and this comment that Lonnie just made about things getting harder and harder. One of the things we talked about in the surplus and reserves working group, and we haven't moved that forward, and we need to start moving that forward, is the fact that, you know, having reserves is great for when you have, you know, a hiccup or an unexpected event, but when you're dealing with a trend, it doesn't matter how much resources you have sequestered. If you haven't figured out a way to deal with what is a trend, any reserves are going to get eaten up. So we were talking about a strategy where it's not just a matter of putting money aside into reserves, but investing in, you know, Lonnie talks about diversification. We have to invest in providing new services. And when you think about new services, you think of who, new services to whom. You've got listeners in your signal areas. You've got listeners who get access digital distribution. And I think it's very important not to leave out, you've got producers. I think we need to start seeing ourselves as providing services to brilliant people with something to say, helping them reach audiences in the world that's coming. And I really think one of the things we need to do at the national office level, because I do think it's appropriate that it be at a national office level, is start to convene a group to talk about what our strategies are going to be. I mean, that's probably going to be under the aegis of the executive director with the CFO. How are we going to invest money to be able to provide new services to all these people? And as a finance committee, we have to say, okay, where does that investment money come from? Right now, we have a policy that's called a reserve policy, but it's actually a surplus policy. It calls for us to generate a certain amount of surplus every year. We have something like $1.7 million in working capital around the network, and Lonnie said we've got slated another $900 coming this year in surplus. That means we do have some demands on that. We may have one or two big contracts coming. We may also, there's the issue of Free Speech Radio News, there are other things. But we do have money to invest, not in, you know, the capital markets, but in new services. And I think we as a committee need to start thinking about what portion of our working capital we're going to start in being able to invest in new things. those new things are not just new programming, but more generally new types of services. And it feels like a soapbox statement I'm making because it's very easy to say, But we need the national office, and you, Greg, in particular, to start convening this discussion about how are we going to, how much are we going to invest of our capital in providing something new to all the different people who we support and who support us.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, I didn't comment earlier, but you know, we're currently in a grow or die phenomenon in a capitalist system that basically, you know, we're just traveling down the same road as anyone else at this point. And at some point, we're going to have to decide whether we want to stay on that train. I support Lonnie's idea that anything we do has to be sustainable, but the question is whether the model has to be a model of continuous growth, whether we can control growth and redirect resources in the way you're talking about it. And I would begin this discussion in March on Thursday, but you know, as you guys are arriving, and continue it over the summer with the managers and bring in other people outside of that group, people who can consult with us, people like the fellow that you're in touch with now. Yes, the model has to be different. And the services have to be improved, frankly, and more toward bringing in more independent producers to move us back to the model that we used to use, which we've veered away from. So I'm in fundamental agreement with what you're saying. I think there is a question as to how much you dig into the reserves, because the money's not going to come back very quickly. It's even slower than direct mail.
Oh, yeah.
And so there is a bit of a risk, and the timing is going to be important. And one thing I'd put on the table right now is our whole IT capacity, which is very fragmented and is not evenly distributed even across the country right now. And that's going to make a difference. I think that would, you know, improvements in technology would make a difference in programming in places like New York and Washington. And we have to look at that. And so that's one place where some investment might go. But we need a lot more input.
Thank you. There are other. Would anyone else like to comment?
Well, I just had one comment. You know, in this budget process, we are calling for prioritization, and as those priorities come in, I'm sure that some of them will be related to what I also call an investment policy. I think that's a good word. We must invest in our future. And maybe we can pick up the discussion, you know, when we have those priorities in hand. That would be April 30th, that they're all due back. And if we were to have a look, I'd say one of the priorities ought to be what we used to call R&D, research and development. But investment is good. We need to do internal investments in order to ensure a workable future. So maybe we can ask, we at the National Finance Committee can look at those priorities as they are sent to us, and all of them should be in by the 30th, and have the discussion about which one of these are items we need to sustain, and which ones are the ones we need to move toward the future, and maybe have that, you know, that discussion, and then urge the board to place to allow us to place real resources in the areas that we look at and deem crucial. Maybe there's an opportunity there, is all I'm saying, you know, by the end of April, to have the first step in that direction.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Well, I would like to just a couple of questions or comments. Yeah, the format it's sent out, I mean, this is good in terms of looking at the information and laying it out. You know, I would probably, again, it's the timing thing, you know, maybe a little bit earlier, but if we're going to go into our meeting on the 20th, so maybe we can follow up with more questions. And, in fact, I think that that's what we'll need to do in terms of looking at the January financials, and perhaps you'll have some preliminary numbers for February. But the other thing is that, you know, missing from this is the whole headcount report, and that's something that we had developed and we worked into the plan last year, and really need to see that, because it's without SIN headcount and without SIN it by station, by major category. This is kind of, you know, you look at the salaries, but you don't know in terms of FTEs or anything and how that has gone up or down or if it's steady or what's going on. So we really need to put the headcount report back into these reports.
I knew you wouldn't forget about it.
Well, see, I know that was a test, and I guess I passed.
I tell you what, I will do that and see if I can get a comparison for you for the September 30th headcount to the January 30th headcount.
Okay. All right.
I will work at that and work my little fingers to the bone and see what I can do.
Oh, Lonnie, you're such a gentleman. So, are there any other questions, comments in terms of this? I think we're in the CFO report.
I have other questions.
Please. Do you? I'm sorry, is that Dave?
Just a quick question.
Right.
In terms of the projections we're getting, who's doing them and what's the method? Are they all trend-based projections?
Yeah, I do them, Brian. What I do is I go over with the general managers and with the business managers. I have the YTD numbers, that is how much they've spent, say, through January. And then I say, what are these expenses? Let's take salaries. Are these salary expenses likely to remain the same for the next 8 months, or will there be changes up or down? For example, will there be a union contract coming online? If so, how much? Will there be people leaving? Will there be extraordinary expense? Which ones that we've seen in the previous 4 months are one-time expenses and therefore not likely to occur in the next 8 months? So it's a tedious, painstaking little process. But I do every line item with every business manager or GM to try to have the forecast be accurate as possible. I do it every month. I did look at how accurate my forecasts were last year. I looked at what I was forecasting in October, November, and if we adjust for the $400,000 shortfall at WBAI last year, that forecast was accurate to within 1%. And the reason it's accurate is because people identify whether there are going to be changes in expense patterns. It also has a formula in that spreadsheet. Many of the expenses are formula-driven. That is to say, they look at the first 4 months, and then the formula produces an average expenditure over the 4 months and then projects it for the remaining 8 months to September 30th. But where there is a need to override that formula based on information I get from these folks, that's how it's done. They do their own forecast, too. They give me an earful when they think mine is wrong. So I adjust to what they tell me. Because now your forecast is off. I won't need that much money, or I'll need more. I think somebody made the point, too, that the forecast on premium every year is wrong. And for the life of me, I cannot get a handle on the premium costs. And the reason is that
unpredictability.
You know, programmers in trying to raise those funds just feel that they have to promise premiums in order to get them in the door. And premiums go from anywhere from 5 or 10 premiums to 200 premiums at some stations. So you get huge issues with the cost of premiums, and they always exceed budget. But as you can see, despite that fact, in this particular budget, we still, you know, do okay. But how to get a hold of a handle on the cost of premiums and the fulfillment rate that is related to premiums is a major issue. And as I'm fond of saying, you know, if you can move your fulfillment rate up 10 points at any station from 80 to 90, you receive an additional $100,000 in most cases. So there's money on the table. There's work to be done there. But, you know, people are doing the best they can.
Okay, thank you. Other comments? Brian?
Oh, I just had one last question.
Sure.
looking at our cash flow projections, or the most recent one we had, we anticipated having our CPP money from the national office by now. Do you have any idea when that's going to get disbursed?
I knew that would come up, too. I did talk with Lois about it, I know that we owe you folks at KPFA some CPB money. I'm frankly needing the cash, and when these mail drops start to the funds flow in, I will send that money along. I did talk with Lois about it today. She says they're okay, but the CPB money, the new CPB money, comes in April, and I think that by the end of March, I'll be able to clear up the money's owed on the CPB to you folks today. Since most folks have had a drive, they have cash coming in, so it's not as pressing, and I really appreciate the flexibility in terms of just making the cash flow. Remember, it takes you folks 3 months cash, but I have to wait 3 months to get it from you, so it makes me 3 months behind at all times, so I'm stuck in having to wait. And therefore, I end up holding on to some of that CPB money perhaps longer than I should, but it works out if you folks have a drive and drive money. So that's the way it's always been at Pacifica, at least since I've been here.
Do you do the levy on a quarterly basis?
The levy?
Yeah.
On, you mean CPB money? Or
no, you said it takes you 3 months after we do a drive to get the money.
Yeah.
You levy checks on a quarterly basis?
Yeah, you mean in terms of checks to you, or? No, we try to bill you every month, but you don't get it. It takes you 3 months to get the full proceeds from a drive. It
takes us 12 months.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's even worse in some cases. It took 8 months for us to get even mail drops, so it's a long time period. We say we raised $950,000 or $1 million or whatever, but those funds take a long time, in fact, to come in. And, the bills are in every month. And can't wait a year. Can't wait 8 months. Got to pay those bills every month. So that's the cash flow dilemma at Pacifica.
Okay. This is Lavorne. I just have a quick question. You had mentioned, I think Brian in his question had asked about union contracts. Can you just let us know if there have been any, in terms of contracts signed within the last 3 months or this fiscal year for at any of the stations and status?
Just talking about that today too. There's been no contract signed, but there are three contracts pending.
Okay.
At KPFA, we simply extended the CWA contract and put the monies in the budget, but there was no contract negotiation process. People felt that it could wait a year. The WBAI has been concluded that it needs to be reviewed and signed. So that will be coming, and I'll notify the board as soon as I verify some facts in that contract. And I wanted to be able to look at the implications for the forecast for February to see how much the new increases would be and when they would hit. The same is true for K. I don't have in hand the final agreed-upon contract. And when I do and look it over, I'll be sending out that notification to this committee and the board. I think there's no contract at T, and the contract at W is also pending, and it's nearing its final stages. So that's the status at this point.
Okay, very good. Okay, other discussion items?
I have a question on that.
Sure.
What is the relationship between you and the ED and the basically the national office and the local stations during the negotiation of union contracts? Obviously, there's financial impact. There's a whole bunch of other policy impact. What role do you guys play in that process?
Well, when I first came 3 years ago, we had union attorneys negotiating the contract.
That was Drapkin and...
Yeah, like Silverman from New York. I think at K, I remember that the bill was like $40,000, $45,000 to do it, and the station was being charged for it. When the contracts came up, most of them were coming up at the same time, being three-year contracts, and you start negotiating a year out. I jumped right in there and started trying to save the station's money, because I had a lot of experience negotiating union contracts. And I pretty much did it. I worked with Eva and the ED at that time, going through the negotiating process, and her staff. I pretty much went the same way at WBAI, working with, at that point, the GM at that point, and then the an attorney, Dan Silverman, who's been working with Pacific for a number of years, finished up the WBAI contract because of the distance and the time. But it's pretty much completed, I'm told. Then the pattern would be the same with the other stations. It's myself as CFO. Ambrose did not get involved in the contracting process, although he was informed and involved on some aspects of it. And Greg, I'm sure, as we go forward, will be more involved. But the contracts, most of them won't come up for another 3 years. So,
specifically, do you guys have sign-off authority? I mean, do the managers get approval from you before they go ahead?
In terms of signing, in terms of signing a contract,
in terms of they don't sign that contract until they've checked with you guys and gotten your check off on it.
So. Yes, absolutely.
Great, thank you.
And it isn't official until A, we signed off, B, notified the board, so the board has some warning of what the contract is, and you know we have a policy around it, so.
Well, the contracts policy specifically excludes union union contracts.
Right, but there's still notification.
Notification.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions, comments? Okay, we'd like to thank you, Lonnie, for the report. The next item on was the National Finance Committee goals and timeline. I think that in the reporting through the meeting, I think we've gone over a lot of those items. So, Dave, I think when you prepare the minutes, that perhaps, you know, we can get together and we can just pick those items from there as either action items or as initiatives that we've discussed during the process of the meeting.
Well, I've listed everything already in the meeting.
Very good. Is there any discussion more on that item? Okay.
I do have one.
Dave.
So we've got these working groups. They haven't been meeting, and you know, on some of these questions, like for example the surplus and reserve thing, it interacts with this question of the in long term what would you call it, Lonnie, research and development budget, that kind of thing. What are we really looking at? I mean, we've talked about we need to look at staffing, but there's a question of how much that should be our role. What else besides surplus and reserves and then the general ledger work group are we going to be trying to get done? And in particular, are we going to have any role in looking at long-term capital campaigns, which is the one thing I haven't heard. I keep thinking about, you know, our need to really lay out a vision for what we're going to do, and I think it should be kind of a three-pronged thing. One is something that's going to support a broad movement of producers, one that's going to produce some high-quality programming for general distribution of the sort that Democracy Now! is, and one that's going to be to acquire new stations. And putting together a plan like that and then going and actively trying to raise funds from people around a specific vision, I think is something we need to do. We certainly need to do it as a PNB, and the question is whether that's something that's going to be driven out of this committee.
I think those are, you know, good points, and I think that, again, a lot of those issues we actually have touched on when Lonnie talked about and the station at BAI, and I think Patty had commented on that. I think that's one of the things we need to look at as far as how do we move forward on this. And if the analysis has been done to, and the assessments have been done to move forward on either a move or not to move, and where Pacifica would stand in terms of, and particularly with the endowment there, you know, exactly how are we using that endowment to enhance the facility there at BAI. So as far as a national campaign for a capital campaign, you know, that's something we can, again, we can put on the list in terms of where we would like to move and in terms of our goals.
Okay, well, I'll make a formal motion then that we include a capital campaign and to improve, to establish a national capital campaign.
Okay. And when you get it together, just read it.
The motion that the NFC establish a goal of developing a national capital campaign. Or actually, I don't know if it's our job to develop it.
Oh yeah, that was making me wince, Dave.
Well, okay. So what's a better way to put it? It's what we need is to have one. So what would our role be in such a thing?
We could recommend to the PNB that it create a capital campaign committee. Would assist. But it would be nice to have it be a joint venture. And so we would recommend to the PNB. Now, we may not want, you know, that may be troublesome to do, but I don't know if we can do a capital campaign out of this finance committee. It would take quite a bit of effort, and we would need some assistance.
Well, given the interest of time, let me make my motion then to address the question of a capital campaign at our next meeting, at our next NFC meeting.
Yes. Are you saying national capital campaign or just capital campaign?
National.
Yeah, that's. I just want to make sure you were including that.
Would it include stations working with us on it in terms of doing capital campaigns locally, or is it just out of the national office? Yeah.
Well, actually, I was thinking in terms of the national board. You usually say about board members, you give, get, or get off. And I note that our board, for a variety of internal political reasons, and just struggling to figure out how to make this governance structure work, has not been really active. So I was actually thinking in terms of how do we as a board start participating in a large-scale capital campaign. You can't really do it until you've got a concrete plan of what you want to do with money. I mean, we could go out and twist arms and say, give us money because we're great, but it works a lot better if you say, give us money because this is what we're going to do with it.
Right, but this is specifically as apart from, you know, a capital campaign to, you know, buy a new home for a particular station. This is for something foundation wide.
Right.
As distinct. Yeah, absolutely.
This is Brian.
Sure, Brian. Please go ahead.
I think if the board's starting from a point of not doing any fundraising, a coordinated national capital campaign might be a lot to bite off to start with. You can certainly start raising smaller amounts of money for operating expenses that are structured around specific programs that are easy to pitch to donors. And that's a great way to get board involvement in fundraising. But, you know, a capital campaign of the size that Pacifica deserves, which is something Pacifica should be working on, requires considerable fundraising staff support and planning. A ton of coordinating between stations and nationals to make sure we don't step on each other's toes with donors if any stations are working on their own capital needs. And, you know, typically a couple years of planning, 5 years of execution.
Right, so don't you think
we have longer than the maximum term of any member of this board?
Yeah, you're absolutely true, and actually the structure of the board does make it difficult to execute something like this, but no, it might be easier to do something large than to move in small steps in this situation and cause less conflict with local stations than trying to, you know, troll for the same donors for, you know, a major donor drive, for example.
If I may?
Sure, Dave.
Irrespective of whether we do it small or large or whatever, the point is we're not moving on that front. There is no coordinated plan that I'm aware of for a national capital campaign and of any, or a capital campaign of any sort, a coordinated capital, coordinated efforts at raising or doing capital campaigns around the network. So I think as a finance committee, it makes sense. I mean, maybe we need a separate committee of the board called the development committee to work with the executives to work on that might be brought in. So maybe it's not a finance committee thing. I'd just, in the interest of time, just like to address this question at our next NFC meeting.
Okay, so do you want to do it through a motion, or do we just...
I'm moving that we address the question of national, of how to develop, a national capital campaign at our next NSC meeting.
Okay. Is there any objections to this motion? More discussion? Okay, so moved. Then, if that's the final item, I'd like to move into the executive session. John, are you there? On in the executive session, what we're going to address is the notification of a pending contract regarding legal matters, and that's the reason for going into executive sessions.